Lord of all creation. I'm going to read John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. Actually, would someone like to read it for us? Thank you, Bob. Here are two stories. Which one do you prefer? The first story begins like this. Once upon a time, a very long time ago, there was a series of accidents. Energy and matter and molecules collided, and somehow you are here today. Here by coincidence, here by chance. The second story starts this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you are here today not by accident, but because he designed you and loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. Here are two stories. Which do you prefer? The first story continues, the fit live, the weak die, so kill or be killed. Survival is the name of the game. Look out for number one. And here's how the second story goes. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the peacemakers. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Here are two stories. Which one do you prefer? The first story finishes like this. You die. The end. And the second story, actually, the second story has no end at all. For Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Here are two stories. Two stories to explain the world. No one can prove which one is true. No scientist, no philosopher, no politician, no priest. It's up to you to choose. So here are two stories. Which one do you prefer? In the beginning. What comes next? In the beginning. Or in the beginning. Two stories. Two stories that explain the world. God or energy? What word comes next? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or in the beginning, energy exploded into nothing. I think that's the way. No, nothing exploded into energy. Sorry, yes. In the beginning, nothing exploded. It all depends on our worldview. I'm going to use that word a lot. Basically, a worldview is the way that we look at the world. A worldview is like a lens. It's like the glasses. If I wear glasses that aren't very clean, I don't get a very good view of the world. Could I borrow your glasses, Bob, by any chance? You see, if I look at the world through the wrong set of glasses, through the wrong lens, that's how I see the world. If that's my whole mindset, I don't know that the world is wrong. It's really weird, actually. You've got really bad eyesight, Bob. And it distorts. The world moves when I'm not supposed to be moving. I can't see the detail. If we use the wrong lens, if we have the wrong lens to look at the world, to understand the world, the wrong basic toolkit, it will be like trying to do work on a car, an old car, that's got imperial bolts and nuts, and I've got a metric socket set. It just isn't going to work as well. I can make it work, but it isn't going to work as well. It all depends on our worldview. On that question, it's science versus religion. I was talking to Francis the other day. For my birthday, I got a subscription to New Scientist. I really enjoy reading about 80% of the New Scientist. I really don't enjoy reading the other 20%, which is all of the scientific types trying to persuade me that I'm a complete idiot for believing in the existence of a divine being. And I ought to just go away and leave them on their own to run the world. I disagree with that competition. I think science versus religion is a false dichotomy. Dawkins, Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion, The Selfish Gene, fantastic writer, wonderful, to use a posh word, polemicist. A polemicist is someone who has a real go at other people's arguments. They can stand there all day and make rude comments extremely cleverly. That's what Dawkins is very good at. He is an evolutionary biologist. He believes the world happens by chance according to the long time scale of pure Darwinian evolution. He has wonderful ideas that prove that religion is a complete falsehood. He would try to tell you that that is the debate. You cannot have science and religion. It is science or religion. Actually, that's what I think the battle is. It's between atheism and faith. Because Dawkins is an atheist and a scientist, he maintains that faith is on the opposing side to science. He's mistaking his arguments. If he just argued about evolution, I think it would be a much better debate. We could have that conversation about how the world came into being, but actually he's mixed up atheism with science. He thinks the two go hand in hand. In the face of so many of the best scientists the world has ever known, who were actually God-fearing men and women who knew Jesus Christ as their friend and saviour. It's a false dichotomy. In the beginning, and what comes next? Which story do you prefer? It all depends on your worldview. Who is in charge of the world? What is the fundamental force at the bottom of the universe? If you could dig down through all the layers of the universe and see the sort of the stamp on the bottom, what runs the universe? Dawkins would tell you it was reason. You know, the use of the mind, the rational mind. I can rationally come to rational conclusions about the way the world is. I can think about the way the world is, and by thinking about it, I can work out exactly how it is. I don't need any externals to tell me how the world is. I can work it out just with the power of the little grey cells, as Hercule Poirot. There are other scientists, actually, that don't like reason. They see the universe as an exercise in chaos. this wonderful chaos theory that says a butterfly flapping its wings in suburbia outside London causes the next hurricane flying off. You know, this idea that everything's interlinked and you can't predict it and it's just all a random happening. We could be anything. We could be green with three legs and four eyes. And some people say that it's the intellectuals, that there's a class of people that really get the way the world works, and the rest of us are just better knuckle down and carry on providing them with all the food and all the goods and all the services and all the... It's a very sort of upper class, lower class sort of worldview. There are some people that say, because we're clever, we know how the world works. You don't, so keep quiet. It's not a bad model, that, actually. I'll have to try that one in church sometime. Sort of linked to that, there are the secularists. They don't care how they work out how the world is, so long as it doesn't include God. America has this wonderful divide between the state and religion. You're not allowed to put the two together. You can be sued for teaching religion in schools in a non-religious class. If it's not an RE class, you're not allowed to teach it. You can't force people to do it. You can't engage in schools. We have such a wonderful input into our local schools. In America, that would be illegal because they have this division between church and state, between faith and the nation. The secular and the sacred in America are actually divided. Who else? There's lots of other things, you know, little green men, crystals, mushrooms, for some of Philip's congregation, something you inject in your arm, that's what's in charge of the world. There's all sorts of things that are in charge of the world. Actually, pretty near the bottom of the list comes God. Who's in charge? That's what John is setting out as he starts the gospel. He's not bothered about where Jesus comes from. He's not bothered about the sort of the birth narrative. That's not where John wants to start. He wants to start by saying, who's in charge? And once we've worked out who's in charge of the universe, actually everything else makes sense. If we flip our way back to the beginning of the Bible, as a preacher, it's absolute murder trying to preach on John 1 without preaching on Genesis 1 as well, because you keep wanting to say, in the beginning, now which one is it? Is it was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word? Oh, God created the heavens and the earth. But in the beginning, God created. The worldview of the writer of the book of Genesis is that God is in charge. From the very first moment of recorded history in this book, God is in charge. That's the lens through which the whole of the Bible needs to be read. The whole of the Old Testament is read through that lens of God in charge. He created the world. The secularists scoff at that. They say that's a ridiculous assumption. How is it any more ridiculous than the assumption that there is no God? Why is your assumption that there isn't anything out there more valid than my assumption that there is? Richard Dawkins starts from the idea there is no God. That is his baseline. He can't prove it. He then tries to prove it with all the other things he says, but he starts from that worldview that says there is no God. God did not create the universe. God is not in charge. It's no different a step of faith than me saying there is a God. Forget talking about who that God is and how that God relates to the world, but you know, just starting with that one idea, is there a God, yes or no? You can't actually prove it one way or the other. People can believe on both sides. We, from our own experience, can, but to some extent, that's because that's our worldview. We start with the assumption of God. That's the change that God made in our hearts when we came to believe in him, that actually there is a God, and then we can see the evidence. Instead of having Bob's glasses on, I've got my glasses on. I can see the world the way that God created it. I can see the little details that God's drawn into the world. John starting his gospel, starting in his mind. Now, we've got Matthew, Mark, and Luke in front, but John didn't have those necessarily. He was trying to link the account of Jesus into the account of Scripture as he had it. His Bible was that bit. The bit before Matthew. So he wanted to link it in. So immediately he ties in the beginning. No good Jewish boy or girl could fail to notice that exactly the same word starts both accounts. One in Hebrew, one in Greek. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John repeats the theology. He doesn't go into the ecology. He doesn't describe the creation of the animals and the plants and all the rest of it. He leaves that to Genesis. But he does repeat the theology. In the beginning, God created. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. Put it simply, God did it. That is the worldview of John 1. It ties in with the worldview of Genesis 1. How does God create? God said. In the beginning was the Word. Not the idea. Not the concept. The Word. God speaks and the universe comes into being. There's another worldview in there, another set of lenses to add on to the first set. What God says matters. Words matter. I've said this dozens of times, I'll keep saying it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me is the worst lie I was ever told as a child. Words matter. Someone had broken my leg at school, I would probably be better off than having to have to deal with the emotional baggage of things that were said about me. Because they still wound and they still hurt, and I still have to let God deal with some of those things. Words change things. Jackie once said, and I agree with her, I think that's something of what it means to be made in the image of God. The words we say matter. The words we say change things. I was having a conversation with somebody this afternoon from a different church, and there's somebody who's been acting very hurtfully towards one of the church leaders in that different church. And the things they are saying are incredibly hurtful. They're incredibly personal. They're deeply wounding. Words matter. And actually, that's what the Bible account of creation says. Words matter. With words, God created the universe. The Word is John's name for Jesus. The Word became a human being. Words change things. Words can create or words can destroy. That's how God created. Another how. This is God's plan. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. There is no accident here. Creation is thought through. You look back to Genesis 1 and 2, the creation accounts. There's this wonderful, I was fortunate enough to do a bit of Hebrew. They called it hobby Hebrew at theological college. I can't remember very much of it now. But the bit in Genesis 1:11, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And sort of, this was the bit we were working through to learn the Hebrew, and the bit I can remember is, it's sort of along the lines of, let the land produce seed-bearing plants, bearing seeds that produce the plants that bear the seeds that bear the plants. Are you with me? It's very particular. You know, we're not going to have an apple tree producing pears. It's got to produce apples and produce more. You know, there's a particularity to creation. Everything is designed to be the way it is. It's made to be the way it is. Albert Einstein once said, in the absence of any other evidence, the human thumb would convince me of the evidence of the existence of a creator. For me, actually, it's that. The eye. Now, I know that the evolutionary biologists have come up with all sorts of explanations for that, but the complexity of this single little ball, we cannot recreate the sensitivity of that, even with our best cameras. I was fortunate enough in August the 11th, 1999, to be on a ferry watching the solar eclipse from totality on a ferry going across the English Channel. It was amazing. If I was rich enough, I would be under every single eclipse hereafter. I can understand people that spend their whole lives eclipse chasing. The most amazing experience of my life. I've never seen a picture of the eclipse that I saw. All of the pictures I've seen don't match what I saw, because they're taken with cameras that haven't got the sensitivity and the discrimination of that little ball of jelly. Creation is thought through. So the worldview is, it's not an accident. This is a design. However that design is worked out, and I'm interested in getting a book that was reviewed in Christianity magazine about talking about whether you have to disbelieve in evolution to believe in God's creation. And actually, there were some interesting points in this article that I want to engage with. I don't want to go in to open that whole can of worms now, but even this man was saying, even if you look at the evolutionary process, you can say this is not an accident. We can see the hand of God at work in here. This is not random chance. But there's another interesting part here. We're not just talking about flesh and bone and squishiness. John goes on, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Very wise friend of ours once said to Jackie, before Jackie and I were going out together, and Jackie was going through a very difficult time, which way is life? She had a difficult decision to make, and this friend said, which way is life? It's a very good question to ask, actually, and it gave Jackie the strength that she needed to make a difficult decision that I think was the right one. The worldview here is that it is in Jesus that we find life. Not in drugs, not in pleasure, not in achievement, not in our bank accounts, not even in our families, but in Jesus that we find life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. There's light and dark. We see this. This describes the way the world is. But beware of what's called dualism. I love the Star Wars films, as you know. But in the later Star Wars films, the later ones produced, the prequel ones, the chosen one is to bring balance to the Force, between darkness and light, to balance darkness and light so they match. I'm not talking about Star Wars here. Very familiar symbol. It wasn't hard to find the picture on the internet. Yin and yang. Darkness and light, intertwined, interrelated. It's the whole basis of the Eastern philosophies, that somehow you need dark to see light, you need light to see dark. It's not a biblical worldview. There is no equality of light and dark. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. It cannot comprehend it. It cannot overcome it. Whichever of the translations you want, light is of a different order to darkness. In him is life, in no one else. There is that centrality of his claim. In him is life. The light shines in the darkness. It's an exclusive claim. We are getting into so much trouble with exclusive claims. You can't say that. You've got to say that all roads lead to God, don't you know? No. because that's not what I believe. It's interesting. Nicky Gumbel said it in a brilliant way on the Alpha videos. I don't know if you remember. If Christianity is true for me, then it has to be true for everybody. Because the faith is a universal faith. If it's not true for me, then it's not true for anybody. Because Christianity makes this universal claim. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't have a halfway version of Christianity where we say, oh, well, you know, Jesus is one of the ways. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and life, well, actually, that was John sort of writing. He got it wrong. Yeah, I'm sorry, he got it wrong. He wrote it down wrong. The whole book goes out the window at that point. If we don't believe what it says in here, fine, I'll just pack up, go home, and I'll go and be a satellite engineer, maybe. Sounds like fun. You can't believe what the book says and not believe what the book says. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. He is the only way. No one comes to the Father except by me, Jesus said. We've got these battling worldviews trying to describe what creation is about. One worldview says there was nothing before all this existed. God was in the beginning. One worldview says random chance rules the roost. He planned the cosmos. Nothing exploded. He created the cosmos with a word. My way is as good as your way. I tell you, the times I have wanted to weep, and I'm sure Philip's had the same. You stand at a funeral, and the person's body, forgive me for being a bit blunt, in the box, and you've asked the family whether they had any faith. And they said, no, not really. And in your head you go, well, why am I here then? And you've shared something of the Christian message. And what's played? And now the end is near, and now I face the final curtain. I did it my way. And the number of times I felt like turning around and going, that's the point. And to some extent, I don't want to say no. I don't want to get into that debate with people at the deepest and saddest times of their life. So I just let it play, and I bite my tongue. And I've got teeth marks across my tongue from the number of times that's been played. My way is as good as your way. In fact, my way is the only way for me. No one else can tell me how to live life. No one else can tell me. My way is my way. He is the only source of life. Two different worldviews, two different stories about who's in charge, who is the Lord of all creation. So what does John tell us? God was in the beginning. God is. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. We, not they, we, in the here and the now. And John goes on to say, God is forever. God is eternal. God is in charge. There are two stories about the way the world is. Which one do you prefer?